Wise Women in Waste podcast series with me, Debbie Hitchin, Director of Sustainable Production and Consumption at Anthesis. If you've joined us for previous episodes, you'll know that we're hosting a series of short podcasts which use informal conversation to explore trends and opportunities in our sector. We are inviting inspiring women from the waste and circularity industry to discuss their passion for the work that they do and provide some industry insights and knowledge along the way. Today, I'm really excited to be joined by my Anthesis colleagues, Gaynor Denton-Bray, Lizzie Smith, and Leah Saunders. They're sustainable consultants in our manufacturing and retail team, and they're focusing specifically on sustainable packaging within the Anthesis offering. So they're going to be sharing some insights with us today from work that they've been doing with clients on sustainable packaging related topics, looking at everything from the importance of having good data to the opportunity for innovation around design and material choices, and the challenges and opportunities for plastics and other material choices. So welcome to you all. It's great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Before we dive into some of the projects and the experience that you're going to share with us, perhaps I'd like to start by asking you all to quickly introduce yourselves to our listeners. Tell us a little bit about the role that you have in Anthesis and your previous experience, please. Let's start first of all, with you, Lizzie, please.
Hi, everyone. So what do I do with Anthesis? I'm quite new to Anthesis and I'm quite excited about it. It's going to give me a chance to really focus on sustainability and packaging and all the fun things that I'm a bit of a nerd about. Historically, I've come from chemistry. My degrees are all in chemistry. And my experience then has been in chemical manufacturing, polymer manufacturing, and then how those polymers are used within packaging. So hopefully that's the experience I'm going to bring to this conversation.
Thank you very much. And Gaynor, let's move to you.
I have 24 years worth of experience in packaging, ranging from manufacturing to being a consultant within retailers as an implant to deliver significant packaging improvement. I've worked on reduction programs, sustainability, innovation. So I've quite a diverse line of experience, and it's crossed health and beauty, food and non-food.
Thank you. And Leah?
Thank you. I've been working at Anthesis for 2.5 years now. And like Lizzie, my background's also in chemistry. But unlike Lizzie, my focus has been a bit more on data. So doing lots of data with packaging in particular. So hopefully that's what I'll bring to this conversation today.
Thank you. It's great to have you all with us. Leah's a veteran, actually, of the Wise Women in Waste podcast series. So you've participated in a panel discussion with us before. But I'm particularly grateful to both Gaynor and Lizzie, because I think it's quite brave to do a podcast for an organisation that you've only relatively recently joined. So thank you both for that. It's great to have you here. I wanted to get straight into our chat, because I know there's some really big topics that we want to try and get through in this session. And I'm going to start with you, Gaynor. I had a question for you, which has been sort of at the back of my mind since you and I attended the Packaging Innovation and MPAC event at the NEC quite recently. The industry there was really talking about this sustainable packaging design and polymer choices. So I wanted to ask you, as a packaging technologist, with your industry experiences of sort of changing packaging design, how do you make sustainability decisions in a holistic way within a business environment?
Well, I think to a degree, what you have to do is you have to consider every stakeholder within that process. So you need to have the data to support where you are, because without understanding where you are, you cannot scope where you need to be going to improve your situation. You need to be working with your production and manufacturing teams to understand what the product requires, what are the best formats within your capability, what packaging material and format you select impacts the supply chain, so that you can efficiently deliver. So it keeps the lean focus as well as the sustainability. And obviously within that, you've still got the consideration of brand guidelines, compliance, regulations. So without the holistic view and involving all stakeholders, you run the risk of working in silos.
Thanks, Gaynor. That's really interesting. And I'm also interested to know what tools are available or what tools you might recommend using, because you've been in that corporate position inside an organisation as a pack tech trying to drive that change. And what you've just described makes it sound quite complicated. So how can we kind of provide some insight or some resources that makes that much more part of the business as usual processes for new R&D or new product development?
Okay, well, historically, I think the most common tool is LCA, but there's not enough uptake on circularity tools. It's having the absolute optimum of the data available within your organisation. A lot of companies simply hold the actual packaging specification, and that is where the level of information can start and end. So it's about digging down into what that actually is and how it impacts. So bespoke tools that consider circularity would be optimum, because actually that steers the right direction.
This is a great point to bring you into the conversation, I think, Leah. So you said in your introduction that you've been looking at data over the last 2.5 years. And I think we've done a couple of conversations with other guests on these podcast series where we've talked a little bit about the importance of that first phase, that analytics, that understanding where you are in order to understand how you can drive change, where you've got the greatest opportunity and how you report back on that. But we haven't probably dived into it in enough detail. And I think if we look at it through your eyes and you could describe for us how you could do this in terms of packaging portfolio footprints and then using that for options analysis and driving change in a real life environment, that might help our listeners to kind of see a process they could follow.
Absolutely. So typically what we do is, and linking back to some of the data that Gain has just mentioned, we'll use packaging specifications that clients might have hold in-house in some PDFs and folders that get lost and aren't aggregated. Or we might help our clients to reach out to suppliers and to get really specific composition and size data on the packaging that they're using. And that's the data that you need to be able to derive real sustainability knowledge. So we'll use detailed material composition, colour, size data to understand what the end of life options are for that packaging and to then go on to calculate circularity metrics. You know, we could use things like the Ellen MacArthur Foundation MCI, but also that data can be used for LCA measurements. So increasingly, we're looking at packaging in a holistic way. That seems to be a bit of a word for this podcast. So looking at different environmental impacts of the packaging and also circularity as a whole. So once you've got your baseline as such, you can measure the impacts. But most importantly and most interestingly, you can make informed decisions on what packaging you should target. So what are the hotspots? And if you were to make certain changes, what would be the impact in the future? So you can start looking, setting yourself goals and seeing how you can achieve those goals by making targeted changes to your packaging portfolio.
And I think that's really important, isn't it? It's looking at those hotspots and looking at those opportunities and understanding them in the context of sustainability. And I think the really interesting thing about having brought Gaynor and Lizzie into our team recently is that that takes us closer to a team of what we call activators. So Leah, you're very much on that analytics phase, on helping people to see the opportunities, on giving them a lens into that data that allows them to play with different options. But up until now, we've found it perhaps a step removed from them being able to implement change. So bringing Lizzie and Gaynor into our team and into our conversation, I think, is a great opportunity to then say, here's practically what you can do in terms of driving that change. But I'm really conscious that the material choices that people make, which have the potentially biggest impact on sustainability, are restricted by the function of the packaging. I hear this all the time. It has to meet food contact regulations, or, you know, there are other restrictions or requirements, product related, that mean I can't make that change or I don't know how to make a change. And I'm just interested to get your views, having come from industry and having come from that packaging technology background, on what you think should be sort of the driving force, if you like, in terms of delivering sustainability when you've got that sort of conflict.
I mean, there's lots of things you've got to consider. There is things like food packaging regulations, but there's also functionality. So sometimes you'll need different barrier properties. You might need an oxygen barrier. You might need a moisture barrier to protect your material. We do have to remember that that is the function of packaging. It is there to protect the product. We all need that. It's not something we want to lose. So you've got to bear that in mind. And sometimes when we look at the data, it's good to look at it with that informed mind, say, well, that looks like a big area, but is it going to be as easy as it looks? Could we actually get a bigger win from something that looks smaller, but will be an easier change? And it's trying to factor that in. An awful lot of materials are multi-material as well. So that's where you've got to look at what each layer is doing. They've all got different functions. Do we need all that complexity? Is there something to be said for just taking a step back and looking at it? And going, do we really need all of this complexity? Why is it there? Does the shelf life need to be as long as it currently is? And just thinking it through, sometimes you need to take a step away from it as well, which I think this process of looking at the data lets you do. It takes you away from the coal face.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And actually, at the moment, there seems to be an increased focus again on what we would consider resource efficiency. So the top of the waste hierarchy, effectively. There was a long focus or a long period of time when the focus was on we must get out of plastic. But I think the current uncertainties in the supply chain for all materials, I mean, we hear really quite interesting information about what's going on in the cartonboard supply chain, for example. It's forcing people to start to think differently about their packaging because there's uncertainty about availability of supply. There's huge volatility in some materials around the price indexes. And there is still that growing consumer and regulatory pressure that we've been seeing over the last sort of 5 or 6 years or so. And so we're beginning to see potentially this collision of different drivers come together. When you overlay that also with rising costs of energy or transport implications, I think businesses are starting to say, okay, hold on a minute, do I need all this stuff? It's not just about a substrate change, which it was maybe just as recently as a couple of years ago. Now it's really about moving up that waste hierarchy and saying, how do I maximise the efficiency of what I have? And I'd be interested again in your views, Lizzie and Gaynor, on where we see that sort of coming through, particularly maybe in design choices, but also in terms of efficiencies as those new materials or different packaging formats go through the manufacturing process. Where are organisations able to or looking to make changes in terms of run rate or energy efficiency? Could you talk a little bit about some of your experiences in those spaces?
So with regards to material selection and the complication with PCR and recycling inclusion, there is a massive disparity against the cost of moving to preferred material versus the availability. But on top of that, at the moment, the prices stack up that actually the plastic tax actually is cheaper than purchasing the PCR. So there's that compromise they have to make. From an efficiency on site perspective, actually, sometimes it's about, are we using too many materials? Do we need as many formats to deliver the pack? And often it's driven by branding. So can we look at a different way of branding to remove an element of packaging that is purely a marketing function? Is there a better way of delivering it? So they're having to sort of strip it back and relook at brand guidelines and what the aspirations for the brand is to deliver sustainability. And then the other side of it is there are some businesses that are looking at, so for instance, Waitrose is switching to clear caps to improve the collection rates for food grade HDPE collection. So because the change in moving away from colour, it can go straight through the food chain, back into the food chain, whereas the coloured caps are cut off. So you're reducing the amount of PCR. So there are certain businesses that are getting wiser to improving that situation, but there's still such a long way to go. And it seems to be that there's very small incremental changes as opposed to anything huge and groundbreaking at the minute.
That's quite interesting. Do you think that is to do with the lack of investment in the area, or do you think it's to do with lack of knowledge and tools and resources, or is it to do with the need to really focus on the current immediate operational issues of sort of getting product on shelf?
I think there's a few points in it. I think it is because it is clear that there's not enough quality PCR available. Secondly, if they're contributing, it's a great story and they're doing their bit for the environment and it is a step in the right direction. And if they work with their supply base, that's when they can essentially develop a closed loop situation as well. So it improves their personal buying situation. So there's lots of little contributing factors that make it a good story and make it worthwhile. We just need a bigger buy-in to things like that, because the coloured caps on milk, just they're historical. That all the information that the coloured cap gives you is on the label. So sometimes it's just about rethinking your choices to make it a smooth transition to contribute to that chain.
I think your point on branding is interesting, actually, because we're seeing more organisations recognise the strength that sustainability adds to their brand in terms of sort of sustainable performance and the message that that sends to consumers. There's been a swing over recent years towards organisations embracing that. So that gives me hope, as does some of the work that I think you've been involved in, Leah. I mean, you've worked with clients where they've been looking at big changes to different parts of their portfolio, but also making those changes actually all at once. So while they might appear on their own to be small material contribution, when you amass them across the whole portfolio, they're quite significant, aren't they?
Absolutely. And often for global businesses, they might have different packaging, well, the same packaging that spans across different regions, and making a change to, let's say, one pack type because it's universally used across all of their geographies actually has an enormous impact on their overall sustainability performance.
Yeah, thank you. I'm interested, Lizzie, because you came from the packaging sector. So, and I would say the experience you have is at the forefront of sort of innovation. So what's your view on this sort of, you know, we need to move faster perspective that Gaynor's recommending?
I think one of the things I'm really seeing is that people are more willing to collaborate now. They've begun to realise that the scale of the task is too big for just one person. And it's this idea of going along the supply chain. So to Gaynor's point about improving recyclability, that initial change might on the surface of it look like it's not improving things for your own organization and it's only going to improve things for the recycler. But I think what people are beginning to realize, if you improve things for people in other parts of the chain, that helps everybody. So another example, we did some work on adhesives. So commonly what you see is obviously labels are glued onto things, and those adhesives can really affect the recycling, particularly fibers. They'll glue all the fibers up. So when you send your paper for repulp, you don't get all those fibers back. And there's actually some quite simple changes you can make just on your type of adhesive to increase the recovery rate of the fibers. That's a simple, maybe it's a bit of a job for the manufacturer, but it makes a big difference to the recycler and their fiber yield. And if people can begin to make things that do things to help other people in the chain, it all comes around. And that circularity begins to get built in.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. It's been a recurring theme in some of these discussions we've had, the need to look up and down the supply chain and work with perhaps less usual partners to be able to fully understand that. And we do quite a lot of projects where we are bringing together those different stakeholders who haven't had a previous relationship to understand what does the specification at end of life look like for its reprocessing partner, and how do you communicate that up to the design processes that Gaynor's been outlining. And also, as Leah says, you know, many times the stuff that's designed in one country or manufactured in one country has a global distribution. So a real role for those organisations who are responsible for it to understand the maturity of the end market in which it ends up in terms of its recycling capacity, and whether that's formal or informal collection and recycling has also been a sort of topic that we've looked at through other parts of this podcast in the past. But I think we often come back in these podcasts to the sort of challenge between the regulatory position and, you know, what that drives versus the leadership position and the sort of voluntary action that's driving perhaps more advanced and better performances. And Lizzie, I'd be interested in your view around the sort of role of regulation in driving packaging change, raw material choices.
It's really important. I think people often see it as a bit slow and it tends to lag behind. And so actually, as an organization, you can make your own decisions faster and make change faster. The challenge when everyone's making their own decisions is, for all very good reasons, they often come to different conclusions. The advantage of regulation is it sets the overall scene and gives you that consistency. So there's all sorts of ways of looking at that. Sometimes, well, it's not agile enough, but I think without that consistency, often consumers get confused. And it particularly, we see it in the waste industry. I mean, the UK is a classic example of what happens and where the regulatory differences between Europe. Our waste collection is arranged by local authorities, therefore it's quite fragmented and everyone's doing different things. And everyone's just a little bit confused in the UK. As you see in other countries where the waste is regulated from high up at a country level, every town, city is collecting the same waste. The packaging designers know exactly how to design their packaging in order to function within that recycling stream. We know, the recyclers know what they're going to get. We then know we've got a view on what recycled material we might get back. And that level of clarity across the whole chain gives that consistency for future planning. So I think regulations can be really key to bringing everyone together on the same page. Whether or not they always go far enough is another matter, but they get there. They catch up.
I think that's really true. And we've been looking at, throughout the series, the role of producer responsibility in our discussions and how that drives change. But also, I think I've just come off a very interesting discussion prior to this, where I was talking with a contact about the need to reduce the volatility within the supply chain. So we were talking in this conversation just now about circularity, and I think that's got a key role to play as the demand continues to grow for these raw materials, but also as the volatility in price and availability continues, particularly through this short-term disruption we're experiencing at the moment. So the business case for circularity, for ownership of that at producer level, rather than giving it to the consumer who gives it to the municipality from whom you then pass it to the producer who then, you know, manufacture something, that seems to me clunky and built with inefficiencies. And so I think in the current economic climate, I'd really like to see a little bit more of that future visioning and a bit more of that collaboration come together so that we see more voluntary action that is actually led by business resilience and sustainable performance drivers within an organization, rather than being led exclusively by sustainability that it might have been in the past. So I think there's lots of things that we're experiencing in the marketplace at the moment, which are really current in the packaging discussion. And I'm just interested, we usually ask our panelists this, if you had one piece of advice that you would give somebody, your counterpart in another organisation, in business, or you know, somebody else maybe starting their career in this sector, one piece of advice about, you know, what should they do now to really activate change, what would it be? Let me start with you, Lizzie.
I think education's really key here. And I think it's that clarity of message. So what is it you want to tell people? And what is it you are aiming to do? And simplify everything back. The answer might be complicated. You might have to do all sorts of different things to make that happen. But ultimately, what is it you want to tell people? And what is it you are trying to do? And try and take it back to why. Why are you doing it?
Yeah, a very good foundation for behaviour change. Education and awareness first. Couldn't agree more. Gaina, what would you say?
Mine would be collaboration across your chain and ask every question, no matter how foolish it feels, because the greater your understanding of what your particular job is going to impact, the better job you're going to do.
I love that. No question is too small or too stupid. That is a great piece of advice. Yeah, thank you. And Leah, to you.
So I think I would say that packaging is incredibly complicated. And I'd say one of the most complicated, well, I'm very biased, elements of sustainability, but or topics in sustainability at the moment, because there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of greenwashing. Often you shouldn't believe what you read on packaging. You can't really believe what you read on websites that make claims. So I think just be really critical and investigate as much as you possibly can, because you've got to be knowledgeable in this space to get it right, unfortunately, at the moment. So you've got to keep your wits about you.
That's a really interesting piece to leave us with. Thank you. Good thought piece. So unfortunately, that takes us to the end of our session. And I feel like we've really only just scratched the surface of packaging here. So we may come back to this discussion. We'd love to hear from listeners on any topics that you'd like to know more about. Do feel free to get in touch, reach out through LinkedIn or contact us via the Anthesis website. We hope that you found this conversation interesting. We hope you've taken away something that means you can activate sustainable packaging within your organization going forward. My huge thanks to Gaina and Lizzie for jumping in so soon in your career with Anthesis and sharing your thoughts with us on this podcast, and to Leah for coming back and doing it twice. So thank you very much for sharing your insights to all of you. Until we speak again, I wish everybody in the listener group a good day, and thank you very much for listening to us.